Anthony Cordesman is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Good morning.
Good morning.
What did the deaths of Saddam's sons mean for the ongoing insurgency in Iraq?
There's no evidence that the two sons or Saddam had sort of direct day-to-day control over operations, or even that there was central coordination. But something like 85% of the attacks on U.S. soldiers took place in a relatively small area between Tikrit in the north, Ramadi in the west, and Bakuba in the east. Almost all of the people doing the attacks seem to have been Ba'ath loyalists. There's no evidence of a popular support or popular resentment. When you lose these two sons from the equation, you lose the person who formed the Fedayeen Saddam. That was Uday. The younger son, Qusay, headed the Iraqi National Security Council, which had all of the intelligence and security services and was responsible for most of the internal terror in Iraq.
So it's got to be a morale booster to the U.S. forces.
Well, it's an immense morale booster, obviously, to the U.S. forces, but it's a morale booster to all of the Iraqis who would support nation building. It's certainly a great incentive to turn people in for the reward, particularly Saddam. And for any of the people who were ex-members of these security services, this is the time to leave, the time to disappear, or the time to strike a bargain.
Indeed, a tip led U.S. soldiers to the villa where the two sons were hiding, and you think this will encourage others to come forward?
Certainly, and I suspect as we learn more about that story, we're going to find that there was more than one tip.
So is the military closer to capturing Saddam Hussein?
I don't think there's any evidence we have that that's true, but if people see that this reward is real, that the U.S. can pick out the two sons, the people who know where the father is, if he's still in Iraq, are probably going to be more willing to make a deal, more interested in the reward, and far less confident there's any conceivable chance that this regime can ever come back.
Obviously, Saddam Hussein is number one on the list of 55 wanted Iraqis. What other important regime members are still at large?
Well, out of the list of 50, we seem to have been able to arrest 37. There's no coherent pattern of the people hiding, so we have mixtures of Ba'ath and security people. There are between 600 and 800 other Iraqis which have been detained, and people who only look at the deck of cards forget about that. But we are talking about security services, which had over 100,000 people. And a lot of the cells that seem to be appearing are not cells from leaders. They seem to be cells from people of middle or low rank, and often young men who are Saddam loyalists. So rolling up this system requires not so much seizing every leader, but getting rid of the symbols, and above all, getting rid of the popular support within, again, this fairly narrow area.
Well, it sounds like there are enough people loose out there to continue this insurgency indefinitely.
There certainly are enough people out there, and there are enough weapons out there to continue it indefinitely, but only if they want to, and only if people will really be afraid enough to allow them to operate. I think what you really have begun to see is the unraveling of any sort of coherent leadership or willingness to keep on with this. People can't believe after the sons are gone that the father's reappearance is going to matter that much, unless people who are in this group can see that there's someone to be loyal to and someone who is supporting them. Again, most of these people already have disappeared.
Thank you very much. Anthony Cordesman is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a private research center and think tank on international relations issues.